from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The middle seems to have fallen out of Washington. Democrats say it's been kidnapped, taken hostage by the Tea Party. Tea Party Republicans and Speaker John Boehner saying, deal with it. This is who we are. Talk to us. But so far, there's no sign of things going anywhere but off the rails. Can we talk? Should we? This hour on Point, we bring in the full spectrum Tea Party voice, centrist Republican, and Democratic Party stalwart Howard Dean to try a conversation. You can join us on air or online where we are always on. What's the way out of this mess? Who's got the right plan in Washington? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. First today, a very warm welcome to our newest listeners on WUSF 89.7 in Tampa, celebrating 50 years of service to the Tampa Bay area. We and On Point listeners all over the country welcome you to the conversation. In just a moment, we'll be joined by a Tea Party voice, by mainstream Republican Vin Weber, and by former Democratic presidential candidate and doctor Howard Dean. But first, we touch down in Washington today with Politico senior congressional reporter John Bresnahan. John, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
It's great to have you. This big word from the Republican side is negotiate. It's time to negotiate. We hear it from John Boehner. We hear it from a lot of people echoing it around the country. And I just wanted to dig in a little bit with you on the history of this. First of all, let's start with where we are right now. Is anybody open to negotiation at this point? Is there a negotiation going on or a quiet one somewhere or not, as far as you know, John?
There's not really any talks going on at this point. Republicans say they want to negotiate, but what they want to negotiate is the future of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And Democrats are not going to do that. And Democrats have stood by this, President Obama and Senate Democrats have stood by this position. We are not going to negotiate on a continuing resolution to fund the government. That's a government funding bill or the debt limit. And, you know, we'll have negotiations on these issues other than the future of Obamacare, but that's off to the side. But first, Congress has to pass, you know, they have to pass a funding bill to reopen the government, and they have to boost the debt limit.
When you say Republicans want to negotiate Obamacare, do you mean little changes to it, or is their opening position is still repeal of it?
Well, they have passed three bills in the House to defund or delay Obamacare. Right now, their whole argument is Republicans believe that Obamacare should be delayed because the president, on his own authority, has delayed the employer mandate for a year. That's the requirement that companies with 50 or more employees pay for health insurance for their employees. Mm-hmm. Now, they say, look, why not delay the individual mandate, the other big piece of Obamacare, since you've done it for employers, and that would be fair and equitable for the American people. But the reality is, if Obamacare doesn't roll out this year, if the Affordable Care Act doesn't start this year, if the individual mandate doesn't start and the health insurance exchanges don't get up, they're not going to get up, because if you delay it for a year, Republicans are just going to dig in more in a year. And the White House knows this. Senate Democrats know this. So they say, look, we will talk about budget and fiscal reforms, but not as part of a government funding bill or a debt ceiling bill. You're holding the government hostage. You're holding the American economy hostage. You know, this is not the place to have these discussions.
So there's a kind of reality check on what the call for negotiation is really about. Of course, that could evolve. I mean, we heard Republicans saying last week, give us something. You know, our pride is on the line here. Give us something. Right. Is there any sign at this point of that hard, big demand on Obamacare sliding off into something smaller or different or maybe even bigger, having to do with the whole national budget debt and so on, the debt ceiling issue?
Well, Republicans have been pushing on, there's two pieces in Obamacare that may be some cover for them. One is a medical device tax that was initiated as part of the Affordable Care Act. They like to repeal that, and there are Democrats who support that. There's also something called IPAP, which is the Independent Physician Advisory Board, which controls payments inside the Medicare program. That's the so-called death panels, when Republicans turned that into death panels in 2010. They like to see that revised, but that's a big piece of Obamacare, is holding down costs in the Medicare program. So it'd be difficult for the White House to give that up. Now, look, they've talked budget and taxes for years now. Obama and Speaker John Boehner started these discussions back in 2011. They didn't go anywhere, and both sides kind of left with a bad feeling in their mouth. And we almost defaulted, and the United States actually had its debt downgraded. In 2012, as part of the fiscal cliff talks, again, Obama and Bader got in negotiations. They were far apart. At the end, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden had to step in and make the deal because Obama and Boehner couldn't do it. So both sides going into this year, both the White House and Speaker Boehner, were like, you know, we're not going to negotiate anymore. We're going to put our position out there. And I think each side kind of misread the other. They thought the other would cave. They thought, well, Boehner will never shut down the government or default. And he kept saying he would, you know, he was not going to do anything on funding, government funding, unless he got something Obamacare, and he did it. And the president said, you know, we're not going to do anything on the government funding or debt limit. We want a clean bill. We don't want any preconditions. And the Republicans genuinely thought, well, he'll cave. He'll give in on it. So we kind of blundered our way into this, and now everybody's dug in, and it's not clear. The thing that's really, to me, that's going to change this is outside public opinion. When the public gets so fed up with what's going on here, both sides will be scared for, you know, the 2014 elections, and they'll say, okay, we got to cut a deal. But right now, they both are standing pat and feel like they've got the upper hand.
Is it all I heard over the weekend was lots of all we want to do is talk, just negotiate, Mr. President. And there's some sign in the polls that that's resonating with American citizens. Is that a fair call? Is it fair of the White House to say, or the Senate or the House Democratic leaders, when we wanted to talk, you didn't want to talk? Is it fair to portray the Democrats as unwilling to negotiate?
Well, they met with Boehner and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the top two Republicans in Congress. They met with the president last week, as well as did Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, those top two Democrats. They call them the Big Four, and they met with Obama last week. And again, Obama and Boehner took the position that even if we do a short-term government funding bill to reopen the government, I want to talk about Obamacare. And you're not going to resolve that in a couple of weeks. He was talking about a couple of weeks. You're not going to resolve that in a couple of weeks. So, you know, the both sides have talked during the year. Have they sat down and negotiated? No, they haven't sat in a room and negotiated, but both sides feel like the other can't deliver. Remember, you have to put this in context. There's a couple of years of Boehner and Obama clashing and not being able to reach an agreement on a grand bargain, on a huge multi-year tax and deficit deal, and there's both believe the other side can't deliver. And at the end of the day, you know, Obama wanted more in taxes, according to Boehner. And according to Obama, Boehner just couldn't deliver his votes. He doesn't control his members, and he's a weak speaker. So there's a lot of distrust, and, you know, there's kind of built-up resentment. And, you know, there really is a question, can Boehner deliver votes? And a lot of this is about Boehner and his own future inside the House Republican conference and whether or not he can stay Speaker.
John Bresnahan is senior congressional reporter with Politico, talking with us here from Washington. John, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
We're going to move into kind of full spectrum conversation here on what's going on. Howard Dean and Vin Weber join us in a moment. I want to go first to NPR station KERA in Dallas, Texas. Katrina Pearson joins us. She is running for Congress in the 32nd Congressional District in Texas, Northeast Dallas, against Republican incumbent Pete Sessions. She's been very active in the Dallas Tea Party, as head of the Pearson Consulting Group, public relations consulting firm there in Dallas. Katrina Pearson, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me.
So you've got a Republican in your district, Pete Sessions, who in the, I don't know, the last rating I saw here was a 100% on-the-money conservative rating from the American Conservative Union, but not conservative enough from you. You're bringing the pressure on from the right. Why?
Well, there's a number of reasons why I chose this specific race to get involved with, mainly because the people in Congressional District 32 are tired of excuses. You'll find that Congressman Sessions has recently got engaged in the Obamacare fight just 3 weeks ago when I announced my candidacy. We were in this position back in March to defund, and unfortunately, our congressman as Rules Committee Chairman blocked the conservative effort to defund back in March. So here we are in the 25th hour trying to bring this debate to the public, and we believe that's just unacceptable.
So he's been a big critic of Obamacare all along, but not hardline enough for you and those backing you, Katrina.
Well, words are different than actions. Most of the Republicans have given a good talk against Obamacare, but none of them have really taken the fight like we've seen Senator Ted Cruz do. You know, it's interesting because Obama in 2008 was elected, and ever since then, This complicit Congress, with the majority of Republicans, have essentially sat back and given this president and the administration a blank check, and he's gotten everything that he wanted. And in 2010, that was a referendum against
everything
Obamacare.
He wanted. No, certainly, you don't mean that. I mean, on immigration and a whole lot of other fronts, the president.
Well, that's coming.
we don't know if it is. I mean, see, but you're the challenge here. He's got 100%. Conservative, you know, rating from the ACU, and still not enough for you. Are you sort of? I mean, there's already a hard opposition to Obamacare in Congress, but more waiting in the wings. Are you the gun to the head here? Are you the thing that keeps John Boehner up at night if he doesn't stick with the no stance on Obamacare?
Well, I sure hope the leadership is paying attention, but we in District 32 have gone beyond ratings. You know, we're looking at actions. There's a 17-year person who's been in Congress with a voting record. And to say the least, the congressman has in the last 6 years not been so conservative.
FreedomWorks is behind you. They've had a lot to do with the Tea Party getting started. Have they put money into your campaign?
We're not there yet. We have the endorsement. We're going to do some hard work on the ground, and from there, we're going to launch a full-fledged campaign in the next couple of months.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking right across the political spectrum today about the big standoff in Washington and where it goes. With a Tea Party candidate, a mainstream Republican, and former governor, Democratic Party presidential candidate, and medical doctor, Howard Dean. Howard Dean and Vin Weber join us in just a moment here. Katrina Pearson is with us from Dallas, Texas. She is running from the right to unseat conservative Republican Pete Sessions in Washington from the 32nd Congressional District in Texas. Not conservative enough, she says, not hard enough on the Affordable Care Act. Katrina Pearson joins us from Dallas, Texas. With us right now from Washington, Vin Weber, Republican congressman in the House from 1981 to 93, representing Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District, just south of St. Paul. He's now co-chairman and partner at the public strategy firm, lobbying firm Mercury, Clark & Weinstock, an outspoken, mainstream Republican. Vin Weber, thank you very much for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Good to have you. And with us from Vermont Public Radio in Colchester, Vermont, is Howard Dean. In 2004, he, of course, was candidate for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States and chairman of the National Democratic National Committee from 2005 to 2009, governor of Vermont from 91 to 2003, also a medical doctor, currently an advisor with the law and lobbying firm McKenna, Long and Aldridge. Howard Dean, welcome. Great to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
So, Vin Weber, first to you. We've got Katrina Pearson with us. She's Tea Party all the way. She says don't give an inch, John Boehner. And to her own congressman there, she says he hasn't been tough enough on the Affordable Care Act. She wants to challenge him on that front. Is this what the GOP needs, Vin? More pressure from the Tea Party right?
No, I listened to Katrina's interview. She sounds like a well-motivated, well-spoken person, and I certainly share her views about the Affordable Care Act. But I do think what we have is an argument about strategy. I mean, I hate to repeat over and over again what I'm sure she has heard ad nauseum, but we don't run the government. We don't run the Senate. We don't run the presidency. We run one part of the government and can only impose our will at the expense of tanking the United States economy by defaulting on our debt. So we have a strategic disagreement about what can be accomplished. I think as soon as we get past that and figure out what ways we can have of actually trying to mitigate the damage done by the Affordable Care Act as opposed to a fruitless effort to try to get rid of it, which we can't do as long as Barack Obama is president, the better off we'll all be. But I certainly understand her motivations, and there's a lot of people around the country angry about this. I just think they're trying to do the wrong thing. Pete Sessions, who I know reasonably well, is a good member of Congress who's tried every way he can to stop the things that we conservatives don't like from this administration.
Howard Dean, you hear our Tea Party voice. You hear our Vin Weber voice. You're our big Democrat here. What do you make of all this?
First of all, I think Vin is right on the merits. I obviously am a fan, a.k.a. ACA. I wasn't in the beginning. I think this is Mitt Romney's approach to health care in Massachusetts. It's worked, and I think we ought to keep it. But so Vin and I disagree there. But here's where I agree with Vin. It is unprecedented to even the last threat in terms of the debt ceiling, it is unprecedented to threaten on a factual matter or a legal matter the credit rating of the United States. The Congress, including the Republicans, incurred debts. We now have to pay those bills. And to threaten the United States of America by saying we're not going to pay the bills and we're going to tank the economy if we don't get our way on some legislative matter, I think is outrageous.
It's been done before.
No, it actually hasn't.
Well, Howard
Dean,
of course, it was threatened in 2011, and our credit rating was chopped. It was dropped.
Yes, but for that, even then, it was a matter of budgetary and financial disagreements. Now it's a matter of an unrelated legal thing, which, as Vin pointed out, the Republicans lost.
Howard,
furthermore,
can I agree with a point and then disagree?
Okay.
I agree with you that to try to tie the debt ceiling to a policy matter like this, it takes past precedents and takes them a heck of a lot further in a direction we don't want to go. But it is also unprecedented for the President of the United States to refuse to talk to the congressional leadership of the other party about how to solve this problem. I'm not saying he's got to give in, but he's refusing to talk to them about solving it. And we need that kind of leadership or we are going to go over this cliff.
Howard Dean, what about that? We heard it all weekend long and we heard it last week. Just negotiate with us, Mr. President. That's all we ask.
In all due respect to Vin, who is a friend, I don't think the president is refusing to talk. What he has said, and I think he's right, is we will not permit anybody, Republican, Democrat, or anybody else, to hold the United States economy hostage for any reason, especially to pay bills that they've already incurred. Now, should the president negotiate on other matters? Absolutely. I'm in favor of a grand bargain. I'm actually fairly fiscally conservative, although I would venture to say I'm a raging social liberal and proud of it. But I you know, when I managed Vermont for 12 years, I was renowned, and the left of my party wasn't so happy about it in terms of balancing budgets and things like that. I believe this country needs to cut its deficit. I believe this country needs to get its fiscal books in order. But I do not believe that shutting down the economy – I'll tell you what's going to happen here. First of all, save for redistricting, the Republicans wouldn't be in charge of the House either. The Democrats got 1.5 million more votes in all the House races combined than the Republicans did. So what you're already seeing is there are 14 or 16 races, I think, where – Republicans are now behind in what were considered to be safe seats. The voters are going to fix this if the politicians don't. Voters are simply going to get rid of some of the people who are afraid of the Tea Party.
I want to ask Katrina Pearson about that. Howard Dean, please stand by. Vin Weber.
Sure.
Katrina Pearson, I think we've got you back now. We lost you for a second there, and I hope you heard Vin Weber was saying, look, he sympathizes with your stern critique of the Affordable Care Act from your sort of Tea Party position on it. But he says he thinks it's a big strategic mistake to go with shutdown and beyond that to a potential default, that you're risking tanking the U.S. economy on a strategy that's not a winning strategy. What do you say, Katrina?
Well, to my point, Congressman Sessions has been in a position to bring this debate to the American public since this bill in 2010 went into place. One of my biggest arguments is the simple fact that we were in this position in March. And we hear the same excuses that Mr. Weber had offered with, we can't do it now, we don't have the presidency, we don't have the Senate. It's just one excuse after another. We've been through raising the debt ceiling. We've been through continuing resolutions. So why all of a sudden are we just now having this fight? I mean, the problem is this debate was never had in the American public. The Republicans have been complicit in allowing this discussion to be monopolized by Democrats.
Now, what do you mean by that? Because there was a lot of debate. Ridiculous. There was a lot of debate around the Affordable Care Act. There was a huge debate around it. And so what do you mean it's never been debated?
There was a debate in Washington, D.C. The debate was not taken to the public. And I think we have a fair assessment now that Jim DeMint.
That's just bizarre.
Vin Weber, can I hear from you first there?
Well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know where to begin. The debate raged so strongly that a solid majority of the American people disapproved of the Affordable Care Act. I mean, the success of Katrina's argument is the fact that the country does not back this particular law. Unfortunately, we don't control the government. And, you know, I wish we did.
But Let me explain.
Sure.
The bill that was passed, Katrina, in Congress is not the bill that's being imposed on the American public.
What do you mean by that?
The bill that was passed in Congress was not presented as a tax to the American public. That bill was not upheld at the Supreme Court. It was rewritten there. And the last time I checked, the Supreme Court is not charged with legislation. The bill that came out of Supreme Court was not then sent back to the representatives of the people to vote on.
But the bill was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Since then, this president has rewritten it 9 times.
Howard Dean, come in here. You hear that line?
Okay, so first of all, there was a debate because I went to a meeting of 2,000 Tea Party activists in the summer right after it passed, and there was quite a debate. Actually, before it passed, it was quite a debate about it. So that I agree with Vin. There was certainly been a national debate. Second of all, here's what's really going on. You have the Tea Party, which is a minority of the Republican Party, but a very well organized, intransigent minority. Then they are controlling essentially John Boehner and his ability to get anything done in the House. In our country, majority rules. The president won re-election. The Tea Party candidates, but for Tea Party candidates, the Republicans might well control the Senate, but they don't because the five Tea Party candidates that were put up in Delaware and Nevada and so forth all lost. Mm-hmm. So we won the election. Now this is so what you now see is a determined well-organized minority with views that are well out of the mainstream of the American public for the most part, maybe not in the 32nd district, but for the most part. And they are now trying to get their way. And that does not work in a democracy. And I think democracy is important.
Vin Weber, how do you explain,
right.
if you could?
Doesn't work
one
in
second,
a democracy.
Katrina, I'll come to you one second. I just want to get Vin Weber on this issue of John Boehner and the Tea Party sub-caucus in the House. How and why have these members, and you can count them at 20-some or 30 or 40 or more, How have they gotten this lock on Speaker Boehner's operations, Vin, if that's the right word? I don't know if it is.
Well, I think that Speaker Boehner is doing the first job of a legislative leader. He's holding this conference together. It's difficult because there are differences within the conference, again, not over the substance of the Affordable Care Act. All Republicans in the House voted against it. All Republicans have voted multiple times to repeal it. All Republicans would like to see it defunded. But there is a difference in strategy within our conference on how to proceed. He's had a difficult time holding the conference together, but he has managed to do so up to this point.
How has this minority been so difficult for him to deal with, even to the point that it seems to be controlling at this point?
Well, I don't think that it's controlling, if he doesn't want it to be. I think he wants to hold together the conference. At some point, that may not be possible. But so far, he understands that to the extent that the Republicans have any strength to their negotiating position, and they have limited negotiating leverage in this whole position. But to the extent that they have any, they got to hold together as a conference. I don't think that that's likely to continue because eventually we are going to have to fund the government. And eventually we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. And there's a certain number of members in the House that simply will never vote for either of those things. But for the time being, he's held them together and he's trying to get the president to actually negotiate so that we Republicans and conservatives can get something out of this. It's not going to be the defunding of Obamacare. It's not going to be the repeal of Obamacare. But we can hope to get something if we hold together.
Katrina, I'll come to you. I want to go to our listeners. Jeannie in Highland Beach, Florida. You're on the air. Jeannie, thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to just say it's just indicative of the way things are going in America these days. The Tea Party is acting like the spoiled child in the family. The family decided to do something that works for everyone, and the spoiled child will not let go. And to me, it's just a sad statement and rather embarrassing.
But what the Tea Party people say, we're principled. This is what we really want. We haven't been given the right hearing here. We're not going to give up again. What about that line, Jeannie?
Well, actually, to me, we're in a democracy, and it's already been voted on by the majority. We voted Obama back in, and they ran on getting rid of health care then. We voted him in for this.
Can I interrupt on that? I just have to say, having been on one side against Katrina, let me say I understand the caller's point, but I really wouldn't stretch that too far. This is indeed the law of the land. I understand that, and as I've said, I'm not in favor of tanking the economy in an attempt to repeal it. But when we talk about this law of the land, let's remember, a majority of the American people tell the pollsters today they are against it. A majority of the House of Representatives today is clearly against it, and I don't think there's any way in the world they would get 60 votes necessary to pass it through the United States Senate today. So yeah, it passed under a different set of circumstances. There's no evidence that today this is the choice of the majority of the American people or of their elected representatives.
But so this is...
I get that we can't do what the Tea Party wants. I've said that. But let's not overstate the moral case of those who try to defend
Howard
the
Dean, I'll bring that to you. Okay. Can we hear from the Tea Party directly first? Katrina, your Tea Party.
Yes.
Our listener says, spoiled child, majority rules. Come on. What do you say?
Well, I say, first of all, we should probably do a little bit more educating of the public. As Mr. Dean said, this was a democracy, and in fact, the United States is not a democracy.
What do you
mean? We are
a
representative republic, which means we elect people to go and represent us in a democratic style. So majority does not rule in this country.
And they voted, and they passed the Affordable Care Act. And
they voted, and they passed. And you know what? We are in a different day and a different time now. And in 2010, the election showed the American people do not want Obamacare. Now, to say that, oh, well,
that's the
law of the land.
How about 2012 and the re-election of President Obama? I mean, he ran on this. Mitt Romney ran against
it. Absolutely. Mitt Romney, that's the thing.
Wasn't
Mitt Romney
that yet a further
did not run against Obamacare.
Oh, yes,
no,
he did.
There were millions
of course
of people who did not vote for Mitt Romney, because I was on those conference calls with grassroots and swing states, and they said, we will absolutely not vote for a Republican that's going to give us Obamacare.
But how do we operate in a majority rule system when majority rule doesn't carry the day, Katrina? I mean, the votes have been taken. How do we operate if we go forward on this basis of, you know, a minority holding things up whenever it wants?
Well, let's talk about that, because it occurs to me that the House of Representatives, you can call them the Republicans, they've passed legislation. Everything is funded, everything with the exception of Obamacare. So it looks like the president has taken his ball and gone home. If you want to have an open and honest discussion about health care, let's have it. Let's delay it for the American people. Everyone else got a sweetheart deal. Why not the folks?
Howard Dean, yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay, so let's look at one of the other fears that we haven't talked about yet. It is true that the Obamacare doesn't poll particularly well right now. It is also, I believe, true that in 9 months it's going to poll really well, because there are a ton of people every day who are suddenly discovering that their health care is available to them now, including a great many Republicans who discover health care is not only available for the first time because they had pre-existing conditions, but it is also cheaper. So I think that it's – and this is not a bill that I supported when it first went through for other reasons. I think it's time we give this bill an opportunity to work, and I think it will work, and I think a lot more people are going to have health insurance as a result. And I think that's one of the things the Tea Party is terrified about, because when people actually like this bill, that's why the Koch brothers and Dick Armey and all these people are funding the Tea Party, because they're afraid, as these sort of uber-rich folks who think they ought to be running the economy without regard to the vote, what the voters want, they're afraid we're actually going to like this bill and there's going to be another entitlement.
We've got half a minute.
Well, I'm not going to let you get away with that, because the Koch brothers don't fund the Tea Party. I haven't received my check yet anyway.
I mean, they've been very influential in a lot of conservative Republican movements, no question about that. But, well, let me ask you, Howard, about Vin's, just got half a minute here, but Vin Weber is saying, look, Congress has changed since this was passed, and he'd like to see that reflected. What about that when it comes to majority rule, Howard?
Congress changed after the Civil Rights Act, too. That doesn't mean we should go back and repeal it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour right across the political spectrum about the standoff in Washington and where it goes. With us, a Tea Party candidate, a mainstream Republican, and former Democratic Party presidential candidate, and medical doctor, Howard Dean. Vin Weber is with us. He represented his district in Minnesota from 1981 to 1993. He's kind of Republican, not in the Tea Party these days. Katrina Pearson is with us. She is in the Tea Party, running for office to unseat a very conservative Republican who's already there, not conservative enough, she says, on the Affordable Care Act. She joins us from Dallas, Texas. All kinds of response online to this conversation. Let's see. Twink McGovern says, Hey, Tom, the middle hasn't fallen out of this situation. The middle ground is now occupied by the Democrats. Okay, on the other hand, Honest Debate says the right to dictate national policy does not belong solely to the president. This is still America. The House gets a say. Ron says there is nothing on Facebook. There is nothing to negotiate. This is a budget bill, not a hostage. The media keeps feeding the nonsense by acting like Obama and the Democrats can't throw them a bone. They don't want a bone. They want the whole skeleton. Let's go to Oliver in Boston. Oliver, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to know why the Tea Party doesn't just split off and become a third party. It seems that they have their sources of funding through PACs, and if they did that, they could be power brokers when the Democrats and Republicans didn't agree, and then the Democrats and Republicans could get together and pass a budget without having anyone in the Tea Party compromise on principle.
Let's pick it up with Katrina Pearson. Katrina in Dallas. I mean, here's Vin Weber, more mainstream Republican, says your strategy on this issue, you know, absurd, bizarre. Maybe the Tea Party should become its own party. What do you think, Katrina? Maybe it will.
Well, if the Tea Party became a third party right now, it would end the Republican Party. But I do think that what we're seeing happening over the next two election cycles, if Republicans can't start to govern as Republicans, you actually might see a third party form. And that's just not the way to go. Unfortunately, we may be forced into that area.
Vin Weber, where do you see this going within the Republican Party? So much turmoil and tension there right now.
As I said, when we're talking about John Boehner, this is John Boehner's great dilemma, and I think he's facing it reasonably well. But holding the Republican Party together in the face of this fundamental disagreement, not over substance but over tactics and strategy, is very difficult. You know, Katrina's exactly right. Tea Party breaks off, forms a new party. The Democrats will run everything, probably for the rest of our lives. But, you know, apparently that doesn't matter to some people. It didn't matter, as you mentioned, in the case of those five Senate seats that we gave away because we nominated weaker candidates. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it should happen. I certainly don't think it advances anybody's view of conservative government, but we have this fundamental difference over strategies and over what can be accomplished.
David in London, Kentucky. David, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. I do not want the Republicans to negotiate or give up anything in this fight, especially after Saturday when I received a letter from Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield informing me that after January 1, 2014, they will no longer offer group health policies to small business, to small group health benefit plans, because they have been trying to be compliant with the Affordable Care Act. But they wanted to help us find another plan after the first of the year.
So what does that mean for you? Does that mean you're losing your current health care after the first of the year, David?
Yes, because of Obamacare. And we had already had a big increase in our premiums. It was costing each employee now another $250 a month because of this. But we just got the letters, and the beauty of it is that these letters are nonpartisan. They're going to go to people that support it and people that don't.
Hey, David, hold on. I want to bring Howard Dean in here with you, mm-hmm. if I can. Howard Dean, let's hear your back and forth here, because you may know the details of this better than I. You hear what David looks like he's facing.
I don't know the Kentucky insurance market. I do know that most places, I've actually argued that it's a good thing to divorce health insurance from employment, because that eventually small businesses aren't going to have to buy health insurance for their employees anymore, and they can get it cheaper on the exchanges. Now, I can't speak to what's going on in Kentucky because I'm just not familiar with it. But I do know, for example, in Vermont, depending on the income of the employee, they're going to see up to a 40% premium cut when they go on the exchange and get health care. And I think that's one of the reasons you saw the big overflow of people getting on the exchanges early to find out what their situation was. Let me just also correct something that Katrina said and I agreed with earlier, and it turns out we're both wrong. And it is true that the polls show that people disapprove of Obamacare. But in fact, 16% of the people disapprove it because they don't think it went far enough. So actually, a plurality of Americans think that some sort of health care from Obamacare to something more is what we should do. And that actually outnumbers the number of people who oppose Obamacare the way Katrina does.
David, in Kentucky, let me ask you, you're going to lose that health care. Have you thought about just signing up for the Affordable Care Act? Well, I mean, would that be worse than having the country held up like this? Why not just do that?
I have no idea. I know several people that got on the state exchange just to see what the exchange had to offer.
Yeah.
And from all the reports I'm seeing, that explains about 95% of the traffic on these state exchanges is people just curious to look at it. Of course, the Democrats want to say, oh, see, everybody's interested and they want it. I think it's a crock. All I know is that my company had offered Cadillac plans to all 40 employees where they actually paid 100% of the premiums. As of 4 months ago, it changed, and we're having to pay about $250 a month now, and now they're saying they're going to lose a plan altogether.
Yeah, so
you can't tell me this is a good thing.
Well, it sounds like that's a lot of disruption in your health care coverage. It'll be really interesting to see where you end up and what kind of coverage you have there, David. Keep us posted. One more, John in Lake Villa, Illinois. John, you're on the air.
Yeah, that's interesting comment from him. I'm a small business owner, and I've never had a health insurance option. My wife is a teacher. We pay $1,800 a month for health insurance for our family. You know, that's the private, I mean, that's the sector that we're in. I have asthma and I have elevated cholesterol.
Okay.
And I have never had an option for health insurance until now. And I can tell you, and I can't believe Republicans don't want to grab onto this, but there are millions of small business people that have ideas for small businesses that have never been able to go into those and open those businesses because of health insurance.
So you say you're welcoming the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare?
I love it. I hope we stick to our guns. And, I mean, closing the government is obviously a terrible, terrible thing, but we can't be held hostage. And I really hope this – and that's the fear is that this CARE Act is going to go through. And the Republicans are afraid of how successful it's going
to
be.
John, we've got it. You're for it. One more, and I'll go to our panel. Joe in Whitehall, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Thank you. First of all, I'm a independent registered. There's a couple of things I'm sure you guys are aware of, maybe one of you not. But, you know, first of all, Maynard was the guy who said, negotiate is not in my vocabulary. Now he wants to negotiate. Democrats can hold this thing up 4 or 5, 6 years from now, do the same thing Republicans are doing because they don't like something. And, isn't what the Republicans are doing right now is kind of like what unions do when they don't like something. They just kind of go on strike. So this is a party that doesn't want the unions. And Republicans, it's all smoke and scream, you know, because if this thing goes through and doesn't work, Obama takes a fall for it. So the Republicans ought to be happy. So I'll take my response off the air, and thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Joe. Thanks for your call. Katrina Pearson, what about it? What's your end game here? Vin Weber's been around the block a few times, and he says, look, he agrees with your disapproval of the Affordable Care Act, but he thinks you've got a big-time losing strategy here in digging in the heels. What is your end game? Where do you see this going?
You know, well, first, I'd like to thank all the callers because they all made very good points. For example, the gentleman with the business has options. Well, there are other ways to have options other than a government overhaul of healthcare. And the last caller, you know, Republicans have funded the government. And that's one thing that keeps getting lost in all this. The government's doing their job. And if we're not
like
unions.
Let's be clear. They've done piecemeal, and there hasn't been agreement on that. And they've left out
exactly.
Obamacare. And there's a lot of opposition to the idea of piecemeal funding. But just to be fully transparent about what's happened, what's your end game?
Well, the end game is to get this president to compromise like all of the presidents in the past. We need some bipartisanship on this. What's being implemented in this country today was a single party line issue. This president needs to grow up and actually govern, sit down with John Boehner and negotiate. It's that simple.
But speak to Vin Weber's point that he sees losses, potentially devastating losses ahead for the GOP in this strategy. Because he thinks it's going to come back and really bite hard. So what do you say?
Well, we've got to stop being afraid because you know what? We're losing. And if we don't stand up for something now, we won't have anything left to stand up for.
Well, you've still
so
got the House of Representatives.
Is still compromised.
What if you lose that, too, as a result of this?
Well, we're not. And that's the thing is that's what I've said earlier in the show is that my congressman's been saying the same thing for the last 4 years. We're going to lose. We're going to lose. We're going to lose. The debt ceiling keeps going up. More and more legislation is being passed. We are allowing this president to govern by executive order. The checks and balances in this country
is lost.
There's
legislation here. It's not just executive order. I mean, there's a great big bill. Vin Weber, what about it?
There is legislation. There is not legislation here
well,
because
course,
certain
there is.
People have
it's
been
the Affordable
exempt.
Care
waivers
Act.
Have been. No, waivers have been granted.
Yes,
subsidies
that's
have
true.
Been given.
Yeah.
People have been exempted.
Okay.
There's no way we can do this discriminatory legislation implementation. That is not the way we do business in America.
Vin, Katrina sees a losing strategy that, you know, so far. She wants to hold tight here and win by digging in. Do you see some way that could happen for the Republicans, for the country, Vin Weber?
Well, the danger is, if we're going to extend this to the debt ceiling, let me make clear what I said. I don't see the Republican Party devastated necessarily by the shutdown of the government. I'm not saying I'm in favor of it, but it's not killing us. But if we actually carry this a step further and tie it to the debt ceiling.
Next week that comes
next,
up.
Next week, and refuse to raise the debt ceiling and allow the country to go into default, we risk causing a major recession. A party that causes a major recession is going to get severely punished at the polls. I hope that Katrina's district and others in Texas are going to be just fine. I know a little bit more about a different part of the country. I watched TV over the weekend. I saw the editor of the Wall Street Journal's editorial page, Paul Gigot, mention that in his home state of Wisconsin, there's Republicans like Sean Duffy who could lose over this. There are Republicans in my state of Minnesota, not currently endangered, that could lose over this. We would be reduced to a very tiny faction in one region of the country, and that's not the way that you get the changes that Katrina and I both ultimately want.
Howard Dean, do you think that President Obama will stick to his position on this, not negotiate, and see us go into default if that's what the Tea Party is willing to risk? Or will Katrina be ultimately justified here because the president at some point cracks and says, hey, we better talk, and Tea Party claims victory?
I think the president is very willing to talk. What he's not going to do is talk about whether we can fund or pay our bills or not, bills which were voted upon by the very majority in the House that is now claiming they don't want to pay their bills. So, of course, the president is not going to talk about negotiation that involves not paying our bills. I'm sure the president would be very happy to sit down and talk about, as he has in the past, how to come to certain kinds of legislation that are going to be agreeable to both parties. But the problem is that the problem that Speaker Boehner has is not just confined to this. Speaker Boehner is having trouble with agreeing with the president or making a deal with the president because he can't control his caucus. He may have kept them together, but he's done that at the cost of moving the caucus to the far right, which is outside where the American mainstream is. So I think it's a big problem. And if anybody doesn't think it's a problem, wait till October 19th when the Dow is down 2,000 points and everybody's 401k, Republican and Democrat alike, have been decimated. That is when we're going to find out who's going to win the election in 2014.
Katrina, are you willing to stick with this position even if it might mean tanking the U.S. economy and the fallout from that?
I believe that the speaker should not blink on this issue. There is no risk for default. We bring in more than enough money to pay the interest. We will not default. This is another scare tactic that the elite in both parties are pushing out onto the American public. Fortunately, the last 4 years, the public has become more educated about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we're just not buying it anymore.
Vin Weber, Tea Party view there. There is no risk of default. What do you say?
I've heard that argument. I understand that argument, but understand what we're saying. It means we'll use all the revenues coming into the government to pay the bondholders, and we'll stop paying other things like no Social Security checks or dramatically reduce Social Security checks, start cutting down the military or decommissioning the military. Mm. Let me tell you something. If we go to the country as a party and say, gee, we've got this great deal for you. We're going to pay all the foreign bondholders and not pay your Social Security. That ain't a winning formula.
Katrina, that is a decision the president is going to have to make.
Well, John Boehner's right at the heart of it, right? I mean, Charles Krauthammer calls this the suicide caucus. You don't buy it, Katrina?
No, I don't buy it at all. The Republicans are doing their job. They're funding everything. They're just not funding the little baby that the Democrats and the president want.
No, but they talking about unfunding almost everything if we get into the default zone. Are you willing to go
exactly.
there?
Mixing up default and funding the government.
Which is why the president needs to come together and negotiate.
Howard Dean, you've watched a lot of politics here. Where do you think blame falls if it all really hits the fan here?
Well, just look at the polls. I mean, the blame, we already know from a poll that came out yesterday that there are now, I think, 16 Republican seats in jeopardy that weren't in jeopardy before. And we're just getting to the beginning of this. I agree with Vin that the Republicans can recover from the government shutdown if it doesn't go on too long. There's no way they're going to recover from a default. And technically, Vin's absolutely right. We don't actually have to not pay the bondholders. Mm-hmm. The problem is he's also right. We're going to be paying the Chinese bondholders and putting our soldiers and our Social Security people out to pasture with nothing. I don't think that's a winning formula. I also actually think this is the end of the Tea Party if this happens. You'll get an isolated 30 people. The Republicans will never want to have anything to do with the Tea Party again. And we may split into three parties.
Katrina says don't blink, John Boehner. Many Democrats say don't blink, President Obama. Is there a way out of this that you can see, Howard?
There is a way. And the way is simply, and I think this is actually the way they're going to do it, because I agree with Vin's observance of what John Boehner's all about. He, of course, knows him much better than I do. But I always thought that Boehner could be a good speaker, and he's going to get through this. And at the end of the day, he's going to do what's right for the country. And the way is that Obama has to agree that they'll sit down and have negotiations, probably not about Obamacare. I think that's a settled matter. But about the budget, about the deficit, about taxes, about the corporate income tax. And these negotiations can be had, and they should be had, but they cannot be had in the context of shutting down the United States government and making it unable to pay its debts.
Vin Weber, grand bargain negotiations on the other side of a stand down on this standoff. Do you see that as a possible way out?
That would be a win for everybody involved. Let me make a point about Speaker Boehner. We have a book coming out by Chris Matthews right now about how great a speaker Tip O'Neill was.
Yep.
The Reagan agenda was enacted because Tip O'Neill could not control his conference back in the 1980s.
Could go the other way. Katrina, are you going to turn it all over to the Democrats by standing tough or not?
Absolutely not. They cannot expect conservatives to sit back and allow this to happen when the enforcement arm of this bill is the IRS, who's already been out there attacking conservatives.
Katrina Pearson, she's running for Congress to the right of conservative Pete Sessions in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for being with us. Howard Dean, Vin Weber, our thanks to you as well. Listeners, thanks for your comments. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.